Matthew chapter 28, we're going to go through a lot of PowerPoint slides this morning. And then tonight we're going to go through our missionary family. We support about 40 missionary units or missionary families. Some of them are singles, some of them are couples, and some of those that we support are families with children, in fact, many children, some of them. In fact, next week you're going to meet the Burgay family. Burgay family, I believe they have 7 children, 4 biological, and 3 that are adopted, 3 that are actually from China. And you're going to love them. In fact, I believe they might be singing next Sunday morning. They'll be up here on stage, and I think you're going to fall in love with that family. Take your Bible, if you have it there. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, somebody said, where's the outline? Well, the outline's come, and you just don't have it in your hand this morning. But Matthew 28, 19 and 20 are two of the verses that really set for us God's plan and God's given responsibility to church, to members of the church, to individual believers, and to us as a corporate body. I know it's a familiar verse. I know that this is not something that you'll say, well, I never heard that before. But you know, it's good to go back and be reminded of the things that we really should know is at the very heart of God's purpose for our lives. Look at Matthew 28, verse 19. In verse 19 we read, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now in that portion there, we have 3 of the commands that we'll come back and visit. The 4th command is found in verse 20. Verse 20 says this, and teaching them, those who have been discipled and been baptized, those who are now part of the body of Christ, teaching them to observe all things. Now these are the Lord's parting words. Whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now go back and look at verse 19. A fourfold command, responsibility that the church bears as a body and that you and I individually bear. So few of us really carry out the Great Commission. I think a lot of church members believe it's something the preacher ought to be doing, and he should. It's something that the missionaries ought to be doing, and they should. But the reality is, it is something we should all be a part of. Look at the fourfold command. The first is the word, or 2 words, go ye. If you tell somebody to go somewhere, you're telling them to do what? Go. Depart. Move on. That's the literal meaning of it. It's not hard. Pretty simple. Go ye. A missionary and a believer carrying out the Great Commission is not content with warming a pew. They're not content with rocking in a rocking chair. They have a business to be about. What is that business? It is the business of going. When God opens an opportunity to serve Him, to tell others about Christ, then we are to go. We are to be about His business. Number 2, the first command, go ye. The second command you find again in verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now let's break down teach. Teach is the idea of bearing a responsibility of making a disciple out of someone else. It is the very concept of presenting the gospel. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, crucified for your sins, buried, raised from the dead on the 3rd day. And of course, the anticipation of all believers and coming again. Look again at that verse. Teach all nations. Here's a question. How broad is the magnitude of the Great Commission? It's what? All nations. The nations of the world. When we present this morning, and then tonight when we introduce all of our missionary family, we will introduce missionaries who are serving around all points of the world. You know, the many churches today, in fact, the average church in America, really is about what they are about. They really have no vision beyond what happens within the four walls of their church. And that is a tragedy. It's always been a great sorrow for me to have members that have been a part of our church over the years. They have maybe gone to the mission field and visited missionaries. They have been a part of the big circle that we have. You know, when we are sending missionaries off, remember we make a big circle around the auditorium and we hold hands and we pray over those two, usually husband and wife, that are going to the mission field. Why? Because it is the passion of our Lord that we would be a church that would send out missionaries. It is such a tragedy to go to a church that has no concept and no vision for missions. You know, I would say this to you. If you're going to leave Hillsdale, go to a church at least that still is about the Great Commission. Amen? Now, don't leave. I don't want you to leave. But I don't understand going to churches that don't have a missions heart. I think it's a great violation of the Great Commission. You know, if you go out and you say, well, I'm going to go and find another church, and don't do that. But in case you do, ask them about missions. And if they you know, one of those Bugs Bunny things, and they can't come up with a true indication of missions hearted, you need to look for another church. Amen, preacher. Preach on. All right. Next one. Number three, command. Baptizing. Now, here's a question. Does baptism have anything to do with being saved? Yes or no? No. Baptism is what? It is an identification with Christ, crucified, buried, raised from the dead. We have, I think, four or five being baptized tonight that are going through the water. The water doesn't save them, but it does identify with Christ, and then it identifies with the local church. And so when missionaries are going out, they ought to be about the business of not only going, but also the business of discipleship. But by the way, that's the same thing you and I should be doing. It's no different. And then baptizing. Have you, as you think back on your life and your walk with Christ, can you think back on someone that came to saving faith as a direct result of you practicing verse 19 of Matthew 28? If you can't, it's a tragedy. What a great tragedy. And then finally, the fourth command is in verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so the Lord says, listen, as you go, it's not just enough to win them to Christ, to salvation. You then need to be instructing them. By the way, that's what Sunday school is about. I find it so tragic, so many never go to Sunday school. Sunday school is the place that says, okay, you know the Lord is your Savior. Now let's build on what you know. Let's not be content being an infant. Let's grow up now in our faith. Take your Bible, turn to another passage, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, this is an identification. The first was the fourfold command to go, to teach, to baptize, to teach. Now, this is the fourfold charge and the concern that the Lord had. Let's look at the breadth of the concern. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, one who even sacrifices himself for the purpose of doing what? To take the gospel. Where are we to take the gospel? What is the concern of the missionary to be? It is to be Jerusalem. What is your Jerusalem? It's not Israel. What is your Jerusalem? Your Jerusalem is what? It's Tampa Bay, Hillsborough County, Pasco County, Pinellas County. I don't know if anyone's from Hernando. I think the Gibbetons are Hernando County. They are our missionaries to Hernando County. What is that, a 45-minute drive at least? 45 minutes. So when they arrive here, they bring their lunch with them. I don't know if you've realized that. But that is our Jerusalem. Now, he goes on, and then he says Judea. Now, Judea would have been the identification of the Jewish people with the nation itself. We identify with the United States. Our missionaries in the United States, we have Dennis and Melanie Rogers, and I'm looking forward to kids coming home, aren't you? And when I was out there with them last January, early February, I was just so impressed how much Dennis and Melanie had grown up, the love of the people. You're going to be able to experience that and enjoy that this coming Sunday night as they present their work. But we have Judea. We have missionaries that are on the Apache Reservation in Arizona. We have missionaries that are up in Montana on the Blackfoot Indian Reservation. And so we have ours out in Judea. But then we go to Samaria. What is Samaria? Samaria was outside of the concept of the Jewish people of what Israel represented. Samaria would be for us Mexico in the south and Canada in the north. In fact, the influx, I'll tell you something, I haven't started yet, but the influx of so many coming from the south, I actually ordered me a Rosetta Stone. I said, Smith, it's time you realize they're going to overtake us. We may as well learn Spanish. But I really do. I want to learn Spanish. I want to be able to learn enough to at least converse. But then I had someone that knows Spanish that told me, oh, preacher, you're just going to get in trouble with that. You know that, don't you? You know, missionary Greenwood said, you know, you'd be better off just sticking with English. But, you know, so much for encouragement for the foreign field, you know. But we are to have a heart for Samaria and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. And I put up here on the outline literally this, every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. South America, Ecuador, Peru, Argentina, we have missionaries there. In the Caribbean, two missionaries in Haiti. In Europe, we have missionaries in Ireland, France, Spain, Poland, Romania, and Austria. In Asia, we have missionaries in the Philippines, in Thailand, India, Japan. In the Middle East, we have missionaries in Lebanon. In Africa, we have missionaries in Cameroon, West Africa, in Zambia, and South Africa. And when you think about going to Africa in this day, it raises some concern, doesn't it? I know the Galts just went back to Cameroon. And, you know, Cameroon has already had an invasion of militant Islamic guerrillas into their area. And so it's becoming a dangerous place to be. We'll discuss a little bit more about that later. And then finally, the theme, by the way, when I say finally, that's evangelistic. So don't say, hey, we're checking out early. Mark 16, verse 15. Would you go there? Mark 16. This is the theme of our missions conference. Mark 16 and verse 15. Hillsdale exists to preach the gospel. It's not to entertain. It's not to just be a socialist institution that's about feeding the poor. That's good. And it's a great thing. It's not about clothing the poor. We exist for a greater purpose than that. And the purpose of the church is to preach the gospel. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And this is the theme verse of our missions conference next week. And it is this. Go ye. Remember, you've already seen that, remember? Go. To depart. To recognize that God doesn't want us to just be comfortable within the four walls and our cushioned pews. He has a purpose for some of us well beyond Tampa. Well beyond the borders that we look at as a place of safety and home. To go ye into all the world, every corner, every tribe, every nation, and preach. The word there is to boldly declare the gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? I've already mentioned it. It is this, that you and I and every man and woman, boy and girl that has ever been born apart from the Lord Jesus Christ was born a sinner. That God, though seeing in our lives the hopeless condition that we are as fallen creatures, God demonstrated and commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ, the Son of God, died for us, was buried, and it's important that we say, raised from the dead. That is the gospel. Now look again at this verse that's up here, Mark 16, verse 15. What is the breadth of the Great Commission? It's to every what? Creature, literally every man. I can't remember. It was one of the missionaries that bemoaned the fact. What a tragedy it is that some would hear the gospel preached twice when so many in the world have never heard the gospel preached once. What a great tragedy. There's another verse I'd invite you to go to. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. I think it was the team that was singing and just a few moments ago. And the words of the song went along the line of a marvelous, amazing thing that Christ would choose me. But there's something that adds to that amazement. And that is that God would choose us to serve Him. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Somebody might say, well, preacher, you know, I don't have a lot of talent. I don't have a lot of skills. You know, my personality, I'm really kind of a flat line personality kind of person. Why would God choose someone like me? And I would say to you, you have just met the qualifications of serving the Lord. Neither wise nor strong. God is looking for vessels that are willing to be used. I had a preacher in Michigan. In fact, he was the chairman of my ordination committee, Dr. Harry Love. And I was sitting with him. I remember sitting with him at a restaurant. He's with the Lord today. And he pointed his finger at me. He was a powerful man in the pulpit. And he pointed his finger at me and he says, now, Travis, most believers are praying, Lord, use me to do great things. When you should be praying, Lord, make me usable. Find me a tool that you want to use. I want to invite you this morning to consider this, and I have an outline that I'm going to be following. It's going to match your PowerPoint. But I want you to consider the responsibility that you and I have regarding the Great Commission. Preacher, somebody says, well, preacher, it's about money, isn't it? No, it really isn't. We are blessed of God, and we're the conduit that He uses. And we are the ones that fund missions. Here's my question. If not us willing to give that others can go, then who? If not us, who will give? I remember when our kids were going through college, and I look back on that. I have no idea how we paid all the bills that we paid, but God blessed. And I remember Sheila and I discussing missions and giving. And I was like, man, maybe we need to just start cutting back on that. And decided, no, we're just going to trust God and give. And you know, God blessed that over the years. He honored us for being faithful in giving. Let me take you to a PowerPoint from years ago. The year is 2007. Some of you will remember this. We had a missions conference that we titled Homegrown. Do you have that slide up there of the tractor and the tomatoes? If you would, go to that, Homegrown. Should be down a couple of the slides from where you are. There you go. Do you remember this missions conference, Homegrown? We brought in Tom Morgan. Early on, let me give you a little background on Tom. I think he just retired. I heard that somewhere. But Tom Morgan had been in Italy as a missionary. Then he had been in Australia as a missionary. But as he came home, it became more and more difficult for him to raise the finances he needed to be able to be on those fields. In fact, the reason he didn't go back to Italy was it was just he couldn't raise the funds that were necessary to go back to Italy, even though he and his wife, they knew Italian. And so they ended up going to Australia. They were there for a season. But in Australia, there were a lot of setbacks and there were a lot of discouragements. Tom came home from the fields a couple of years, I think, after I became the pastor. And I still remember us sitting down at Atlanta Bread Company, used to be over across from the mall, and sitting down with him. And the deacons had given me their blessing to invite Tom to serve with us at least for a year or so, just to get back on his feet here in the States. But as we sat down with Tom and Diane, they were broken and they were discouraged. They had had a lot of hardship on the field, conflicts with missionaries and the jealousy. By the way, missionaries are human. A lot of times we want to put them up on a pedestal. They're human. They have the flaws, the faults, the strengths, and the weaknesses that we all have. The missionaries coming in next week, don't put them on a pedestal. Don't have them for lunch either. But realize that they're human. And their desire is what I hope your desire is. It's to serve the Lord wherever He's calling, wherever He's leading, that's their desire, is to serve Him. And I sat down with Tom and I learned a lot about missions. I should have already known a lot of it. But I had never heard a missionary honestly tell me what is it really like to go from church to church and present your work in churches, only to be told, we don't have the finances to send you. Or we're not able to send you. Or we're going to support somebody else. And so he sat there with me, somebody that was willing to be a friend to a pastor, and to be real honest. And he started sharing with me how difficult and discouraging it was, even for a home church, not to get behind its missionary. At that time, I think typically the mission support was about $50 a month or maybe $100 a month. Typically, if we were the home sending church, it was about $125 a month. And Tom said, if you really want missionaries to go out of your church, you got to change how you support missionaries, especially homegrown missionaries. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, you got to put your money where your mouth is. You got to step up. I said, well, tell me what you think we ought to do. And he says, you need to do more than you're doing. And so we came away from that time together with a decision that we were going to start, if a kid out of our church, an adult out of our church says, I'm going to the mission field, that we would promise them from day one, we will, after you have been accepted by a board, we will support you 20%. That's a lot of money. Typically, 20% of mission support right now is about $1,000 a month or more. That's a lot of money. Especially over not just 1 year, but perpetual years. 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, that you're still supporting 20%. Inflation comes, the need arises, and you've got to step up again. You've got to raise the support to stay at that 20%. But here's what I learned. Because we were willing to support a Dennis Rogers or a Lauren Fitzgerald or a James and Amy Greenwood, because we were willing to support 20%, you know what the other preachers started saying? Wow, that church must really believe in its missionary. One of the things that I realized that I needed to do when I was talking with missionaries from other churches was point blank ask them, how much is your church supporting you? And you know, if they say 1% or 3%, now I'm starting to think, well, your church doesn't what? Have a whole lot of confidence in you. Are you following the progression? Then we decided, okay, what if we're not the sending church, but we have a relationship with a Lauren Fitzgerald who is married to Buddy, whose home church is in Greenville, South Carolina. And we decided, you know what, let's step up. And we're not the sending church, so we're not primarily responsible. But let's at least give 10% going out the door. And so that amounted to about $500 now instead of the $1,000. I still remember Buddy calling me on the phone one day, and he was trying to get his home church to do what we were doing. And he says, Preacher, you need to raise my support just a little bit more and kind of guilt the home church into giving more, you know? And I thought about it, so I went to the deacons, and the deacons said, well, let's do it. And so we did. I think we're like 15%. And you know, he was right. His home church up in Greenville, they immediately got guilt and responded by raising him above us. So, Buddy's got a way of working things. You'll figure that out when he comes. And then we decided 5% for any other missionaries that we were taking on. And that would amount to about $200 to $250 a month. Here's something I learned, and this is different. If you're visiting today, this is not typical, okay? And the church people, they could all tell you. In fact, if you need affirmation, the preacher actually does something besides talk about money. Look for a visitor after the church and tell them that, all right? All right. The point is this, though. We realized that when we became a major part of a missionary's life and support, you know, they started listening. I mean, if I called or if I sent an email, you know, when 5 or 10% of your support's coming from one church pastored by one man, you decide maybe I need to respond to that email, you know. Years ago, I had a missionary we were supporting $500 a month, and he's a dear friend of mine. A very close friend. But I knew he had a daughter at Clearwater. And for 4 years, he was coming into town and only one time decided to visit me or Hillsdale. So I waited until the daughter graduated. I picked up the phone and I called. I said, I think we support you more than any other church, don't we? Yes, sir. But you've not visited me or Hillsdale but one time in 4 years? So, you know, starting today, we're going to cut your support in half. You're going to have to raise that $250 somewhere else. And I love you, but if you're not invested in us, at least reporting and visiting, then I question how much we should be invested in you. Now, I have a great relationship with that missionary. We pal around when he's around. But I learned another thing, that if we're going to send missionaries and we're going to invest in them, we should hold them accountable, right? Hold them accountable. One of the things we're going to do in the next year, and I'm already in the process, there are some missionaries that are pastoring in a way that is not who we are. And I believe philosophically, we should support missionaries who have our philosophy of ministry. If they want contemporary music, then they have to go somewhere else to get their support. We're not going to support that. If they want to do something different doctrinally, we're not going to support it. And we have a couple that won't be in the presentation tonight that I've already decided I'm going to present to the church. Let me share a little bit with you on the outline. Would you go to the next slide up there? Mark 16, verse 15, that is our theme. Outside of pastoring Hillsdale Baptist Church, I think the most important thing that I do is my interaction with missionaries. Outside of our Jerusalem, I think the most important thing that we do as a church is what are we doing to support missionaries and getting them to the various mission fields of the world. If you have your brochure, would you take that out? And again, I almost want to apologize if you're visiting for the first time, because this is not typical. But because missions is at the heart of everything we are, I believe, as a church family, I want it to be something that you'll leave this service and you're going to say, boy, missions conference is really important to that preacher. And it should be to all of us. Look with me, if you would. Dennis and Melanie Rogers. Go to the next slide. Dennis will be with us next Sunday. In fact, they're coming in the middle of the week. Dennis grew up at Hillsdale. He has red hair. He was a red hair terror. I was his youth pastor. He drove me crazy. Sometimes I wanted to kill him. In fact, there's a picture of me playing fun. I think, am I holding a hammer or something? You know, it was a saddest skit that we were doing. But you know, God got a hold of Dennis's heart in college. He came, got a hold of Dennis's heart here at home. He went off to college and they said, thank you, but don't come back. But you know, he was home for about a year and a half or so. And I think it was Tom Morgan's ministry in his life that Dennis forever changed. Wouldn't you know it? I think it was the week after he had dedicated his life to the Lord to go back to where they said, thank you, but don't come back. But go back this time as a preacher boy, determined to graduate and be a missionary. That this beautiful young lady, professional, walks in the door of Hillsdale, you know. And that, of course, is Melanie Rogers. And we were shocked when she sat beside Dennis. You know, you wanted to fill her in, you know? But you wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. The point is this. She was in business and was really successful. I mean, she was way up in a company. And Dennis and her started building their bond to each other. She had just built a house. And Dennis proposed. To my knowledge, she never lived in that new house. Because he told her, if you marry me, we're going to go back to Bible college and I'm going to be a missionary. And you know, she said, I do. And they did. Dennis comes out of college and really had a heart for the West. Well, I thought, well, Dennis, I've known you a long time. There's a thing called internship and we're going to do it. And so he was with us for a 6-month internship. Then he went out west for another year and a half internship. When they came back, I was and Hillsdale was, we were excited about what God had done in his life. You know, God is blessing him in Pullman, Washington. And this morning, as I'm finishing up, they're starting up out there with a church that loves them. Next Sunday morning, he'll be in the Primetimer Sunday School class. Melanie will be in the Encourager Sunday School class. And I encourage Sunday School teachers, do everything you can to have our people here to hear their testimony. Dennis will be our keynote speaker Sunday night. If you had asked me 15 years ago if that would happen, I would have said, not unless I can walk on water. But God has done such a great work in his life. And so I'm excited about you meeting him and Alyssa and Toby. Let me take you to another slide. David and Kim Huffman, we've been a part of supporting them since they were just fresh out of college, just kids. And they now are veteran missionaries in Brazil. I think they've started 3 churches, built 3 church buildings, and I believe they're starting their 4th church. And the Huffmans are going to be in the home builders class. He'll be preaching next Sunday morning. I put up there that they are at 83% support. And I want to encourage you. They are quality missionaries. But they have been on the field so long that their support level has just been falling behind. Another slide. Seth and Lauren Champlin. These are our kids just out of college. They've met with the Greenwoods. They have surrendered to go to Argentina to labor with the Greenwoods at least a couple of years. they will serve with them in Argentina. What is interesting, now, this is the providence of God. Dennis, or James and Amy, have started a Bible study in a town about 45 minutes away from where they live. The chaplains, unbeknownst to the Greenwoods, have felt a calling to go where? To the town where the Bible study that the Greenwoods are holding there. That's not coincidence, is it? That is God's plan. The chaplains will be in the teen Sunday school class next Sunday morning, and the prime timers lunch on Monday the 27th. Another, Brent and Selena Burgay, I hope I'm saying that right. Sheila and I had lunch with them over at the food court, I guess it was, about a year ago. And I sat down with them, and the Fishers, Chris and Lori, when I sat down with them, I thought, this is Chris and Lori. You know, they have these biological kids. They have their adopted kids. And the kids were so well behaved. We bought Chick-fil-A for them. They thought they had gone to heaven, you know. But the Burgays, listen to this, are so experienced in this matter of parenting, especially orphan kids. Three kids adopted from China, that they have committed their lives to go to Africa. In Africa, I believe the number of orphan children where parents have died of AIDS is nearly 4 million living in basically dormitories. And so they are going over there to serve there, to be a part of church planting. And they have an interesting blog. If you look them up, she writes an encouragement for moms. And they have a class that they teach called Grace Parenting. They will be, the Burgays will be in a combined college and in harmony class. And then Brent will preach on Wednesday night. Their kids will be singing as they're here. And then finally, the Fitzgerald. This was not my plan. This was God's plan. So I put on here last minute addition. They're not in any of our advertisement material. But when they called on Friday, and Buddy said, Pastor Lauren wants to come home. Can you at least squeeze us in and find room for us? By the way, do we get housing for them? Do you know? We do have housing? Very good. And so they are coming. I have asked them to preach on Tuesday night. So he'll be preaching, sharing their testimony, and I think you will love them. They will not be here Sunday. They'll be coming in Sunday night late, I believe. And now, let me, a couple more things, and I'm almost finished here. In-home fellowship. Let me talk to you about that. We found years ago, as our church family is spread all over Tampa Bay, that it was almost impossible to just go with where Sunday school classes meant. And so we determined, I think it was last year was the first time, to try to geographically locate missionaries for in-home fellowships. And so we have four of those, if it shows up, and I apologize if it doesn't. If you could, go ahead and bring all four of those up, if you would. As you leave here this morning and tonight, I hope that you will make a plan on that Monday night. The time probably is about 6:30 to 8 o'clock would be your time. And it is a one-on-one opportunity with missionaries. And so in the Knacks home, they're up in the Lands of Lakes area. For those of you that live up north, we'd encourage you to sign up. The Rogers family will be there for that meal. Or meal or whatever they're having. I'm not sure what's happening there. East Tampa, the Champlin, Dargolts, they're over in Riverview, Brandon, help me out. Valrico. Any of you that live out in that area, we're dedicating a missionary, the Champlins, to be there. And I hope as you're scattered out, just take an hour and a half and just go over there and be a part of the fellowship. Last year, Sheila and I were not able to this year, but we hosted one of these. And I'm telling you, the fellowship was sweet. You could ask questions. The missionaries were relaxed. It was fun. It was just fun. And you ought to take advantage of it. In the central part, really the Carrollwood area, we have the Bergay family, the Bergay gang, or bunch, as they call themselves. And any of you that live anywhere around the Carrollwood, Del Mabry, Northdale, south towards Hillsboro, any of that area there, this is the home that we'd love for you to go and visit with the Bergay family. I think you'll be challenged and encouraged by it. And then the Kellers have opened their home. They are over in the Odessa, Oldsmar area. For those of you that live maybe Pinellas County, you could get across what, Racetrack Road and get right over here and be at their house. And we have the Huffmans, missionaries to Brazil, that are going to be there. Let me see if there's anything else I need to cover. Yeah, let me cover one more thing. This is, you might know, the most important thing. I almost am out of time. A couple of things here before I let you go. Let's go to the next slide. We support about 40 missionary units, 4 institutions, mission boards, the Wilds, Hope's Children's Home, are all included in that. And so we have a great responsibility that we carry. In fact, $110,160 is our commitment to missionaries right now. If we don't see another dime over $110,000, that's our commitment. People are on the mission field. We have a responsibility to take care of them and do our part. But this year, we're either walking the plank, or we've gone crazy, or we really think that this is something that we can do as a church family. We've put a budget of $140,000. If I was you, I would say, what are you going to do with the other $30,000, all right? Let's go to the next slide, if you would. Here's a goal for this year, that we will do what we used to do. Before we started to move, before we started to build, before we started to do all those things that really enslaved us for about 10 years, we were sending 25 to 50 people to the mission field every year. Prime-timers were going, teenagers were going, all adults were going. We had a lot of people going to the mission field. And it was such a joy that season of seeing our people go to the mission field. We have 2 mission trip teams that we want to take this year. James and Amy Greenwood are going to begin construction on a 200-seat auditorium on the property that we were a part of helping them buy starting in March. The foundation will be laid. Pillars are going to be poured in March. They have asked us, Pastor, do you think you could get a team together to come to Argentina in April after Easter is over and be a part of helping us with the second phase? I think there's altogether 4 or 5 construction phases. They would like us to be on the second phase there. The cost of tickets to go there can be anywhere from around $1,000 to $1,200. We as a church voted many years ago, we will support up to 33%, up to $300 to help offset the cost of church members who are going to visit our missionaries on the mission field. And so my proposal is this. A group of 12, the Barbers would, I think they are willing to go. I think I just said, I want you to go to Argentina. So hopefully Linda's going with him. You have agreed, right? We've agreed. But $16,000, $10,000 would go towards construction materials. In other words, we don't want to go down and just say we're here to, you know, run a wheelbarrow and pour concrete. We want to be able to go and say, here's a gift to pay for the materials in the construction of your auditorium. And I believe that's something other churches are going to be doing as well. The 12-member teen ministry team, I'm excited about this. I know that there's criteria that you have and memorization and being faithful. So kids are going to have to really work hard in ministry here to go on this trip. But I've set that number at about $6,000. Mom and Dad, the general cost of tickets can be anywhere from $450 to $600. But if we meet our goal that we set earlier, I will be asking the missions committee and deacons to compensate $300. So if it's a cost of $450, we'll pay $300. If it's $600, we'll still pay $300. So to get the teens out there to be a part of the ministry, they'll be running a VBS program, the children's program. They'll be passing out flyers for Dennis and Mel's church that is there. And so let me go back. Do I have one more? Yeah, here it is. Here's the 140, and then we'll close. 110,000 is committed. 22,000 more to fund missions projects, buy airline tickets, mission trips. That leaves us a balance of 7,840. We have missionaries that we've not increased in years, and the inflation on the mission field is killing them. And I'd like to come back in a couple of months and say, here are some missionaries that are under-supported. Let's raise our support and meet their needs. New missionaries. Do you remember the Bowers in Haiti? I would love to support them, and we need the finances to do that. That's where Alicia McFadden went down, was with the Bowers and with Dr. Livingston. When you meet the Bergay family, you're going to be upset if we can't support them. I can guarantee you. You're going to be upset. The Chaplin family, the couple going down to work with the Greenwoods, you're going to like them and you're going to say, well, Pastor, we got to do something to support them. And I'm going to close with that. Again, if you're visiting, I do preach and not just talk about money, I promise you. Here's my challenge to you. Go to the last slide. And it is this. That there are some who can go. I look out here and I see some of you prime timers. You've got time to go. I chatted with Mark Keller this morning. I'll put him on the spot. And I said, Mark, you're going to go on this trip to Argentina, right? And he says, yeah, I'm planning to go. So if you're here today and you say, I don't know a thing about construction, Mark will immerse you in how to swing the hammer, all right? But some of you could go and just be a help, you know? Help somebody that knows what they're doing. That's where I would volunteer, right? Linda, I've asked her to go to help Amy. Amy has chronic back problems. And so when a team's coming in, she's going to need help. Pastor, where would we stay in Argentina? There is actually a Christian resort, a hotel kind of environment with food that is served. It's within, just a mile or two of their new property. So housing will not be a problem. Going out west to have our teams go back to the mission field. My proudest times have been when we've ordained homegrown missionaries. We have, I think, 4 kids in college right now surrendered to ministry. And I'm praying that God's going to call out more. That's my desire, is to see our young people go and serve. And you as a church family, do what I had to do years ago. Put your money where your mouth is. You want to see people go to the mission field? Then pray about what you can give. I pray that some of you will say, if 22,000 is all it's going to take to get those kids and that construction team to Argentina, then I'll write the check. Because I believe that much in what the Greenwoods and the Rogers are doing. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Our Father, our time is gone and we know we don't have any more time to say anything more. But I pray that our people will come back tonight. 40 missionaries I'd like for them to meet. $110,000 that goes out in the course of a year. And Lord, we can only support as we're willing to give. And so I pray that you would move on the hearts of this church family to sign up for the missions banquet, to be there for the in-home fellowships, and to prayerfully consider, if I can't go, what am I willing to give? And so, Lord, we pray to that end we'll labor. How we thank you for the gospel. And Lord, we don't know if anyone here is here this morning that doesn't know you as Savior. But I pray that they will have heard loud and clear that we're all sinners. But that you loved us, you sent your Son, Christ, to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. He was buried and raised from the dead. The hope of sins forgiven and of life eternal. For that we thank you. Lord, bless now as we leave. May you stir our hearts with your purpose for our lives, we pray. May we be the conduit of your blessings. In Christ's name, amen.